The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Look at that. Dory is out today, and you guys are still doing the Let's Go, Brandon. I'm laughing because I started to give a monologue. This is Jason Matera, by the way, filling in for Dory. And I started to get in, and my microphone wasn't even near me. And and I'm like, why can't I sound like I'm projecting my voice? Duh, the microphone. It's not like I've done this once or twice, Nicole. No. But we are here on the Dory Monson Show.
It's been a while, but did you play the chant?
I did play the chant.
Yeah, I don't think it worked because your computer wasn't on yet.
All right, we're going to do it now.
Let's go, Brandon!
There we go!
Let's go, Brandon! Let's go, Brandon! Let's
go, Brandon! There we go.
There we go. All right, now everyone is. Let's go, Brandon. That's right. What a way to start the show. My microphone is not near me. Apparently, I'm playing Let's Go, Brandon, and it's not airing to you, but don't worry. I promise you the next 3 hours will go swimmingly under my care here. Dory's taking some much-needed rest and relaxation. So you have me, Jason Matera, filling in for Dory. I love filling in for Dory. Love working with Nicole. Dory is a principled man, and I love guest hosting. We're just partnering with people who are principled, who are bold, who are courageous. And I'm telling you, it takes a level. Dory may not feel like it. I'll be praying. He understands it. It takes some fortitude. You're in Seattle, and you're going up against a noxious and toxic prevailing worldview all around you. And Dory stands up to it. And I like people who do that and do it on a consistent basis. And he's there. He's doing it every single day. So in order for Dory to continue doing it, we need him to just rest up a little. And you got me, your humble guest host for the next 3 hours. And Nicole is here to make sure the train doesn't go completely off the tracks, although it kind of went off the tracks within the first 30 seconds, Nicole, and you can't blame me for that.
A little bit.
You can't blame me for that.
Can't blame me either.
Things happen. Things happen, you know. Okay, so with that as our setup, we're going to get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
And the top story, unfortunately, continues to be COVID. Really COVID and crime when we're in this area, because the outrageous policies from local officials, from Governor Inslee, that are targeting people based on and segregating people, whether or not they want to get inject a government jab in their system. And for me, my position, and I know it's Dory's as well, it always comes down to choice. This is always about a person's choice, and that if they feel comfortable, if they want to do it. And really, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't at all. And if someone is vaccinated, then if you believe in the efficacy of the vaccine, it shouldn't affect you either. But here we have these truly draconian rules and regulations. And not only that, you have a manufactured crisis by our local officials firing people needlessly under the guise of public health and public safety. And I'm not going to insult your intelligence. You know, if someone has been operating without a vaccine for the last 18 months, you can't say it's because of public health now if they were serving in a capacity when there was no vaccine, right? So I'm not going to insult your intelligence by just pointing out the obvious. And yet we have first responders in a city that is desperate for more first responders, is critically underfunded in the realm of first responders, certainly with police officers, having more police officers go gratuitously. And we have a reporter, our friend Brandy Cruz, who, by the way, I've never met before, but I really, Nicole, I genuinely, and this is before I knew her connection to this show, I genuinely always appreciated her questions, because you can always tell when a reporter challenges the narrative, right? The official, there's two types of reporters, it's on a local level and a national level, Nicole. And the two types of reporters are One, and it's not conservative leftist, right? It's you challenge the official narrative or you ask questions that ascribe to the official narrative, right? You're conforming to the official narrative. So a question that conforms would be like, aren't you glad, Mayor Durkan, that the public will feel safe now that you fire those first responders who didn't get the vaccination? Something along those lines.
Right.
Conforms. Now, Brandi Cruz is someone who does not conform, and she challenges. It just so happens that when you live in an area that are run by Democrats, challenging the official narrative means you're challenging Democrat orthodoxy.
I will say that. So Brandi does these interviews with Mayor Durkan. This isn't an interview. I think this is like
a press conference
yeah. or something. But she's been doing them throughout the pandemic, and she has been tough on her. And some of the stuff has gotten a lot of play because it doesn't maybe make Durkan seem really
too competent.
Yes. But she continues to meet with Brandi every week and has stayed true to that. To that word that she gave
well, good
her
for
at the beginning of the pandemic. So I appreciate that,
yes.
But because even though there's that relationship between her and Brandi, Brandi continues to push. And so I appreciate both sides of this. Like, Brandi continues to push and Durkan continues to talk, because that's not the case for most politicians and most reporters.
Well, no, because most politicians look for the friendliest outlet available.
Exactly.
And most reporters are lazy and would require not to actually think outside of their worldview, and it's much easier when you're just looking to satisfy the ideology of whoever your editor is. It's much more difficult to think for yourself. So good, yes, Isaac, good for both parties. Okay, but speaking of it, that doesn't mean Durkan isn't incompetent. She's definitely incompetent.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, and here Brandi asks a very, I think, reasonable question, and that is, why are we not giving first responders the option to test negative for COVID and just rushing to fire them? Because we're giving the negative test option to do everything else, right? You go to a football game, you go to the gym, you go to a restaurant, all that. So why not have, I don't know, some equality here, a level of fairness, especially since we're dealing with first responders. And here is how that conversation went.
Mayor Durkan, you've been saying for a year that we can't afford to lose any more police officers. How come pretty soon I can show a negative COVID test to get into a football game with 60,000 people in your city, but you're not going to let your officers show a negative test to continue to serve the citizens of Seattle?
Every decision we've made throughout this, we've really grounded our decisions on public health, safety, and data.
Right.
We know testing was the
right.
best we had before we had vaccines, but it wasn't effective. We tested correction officers, for example, but still had huge outbreaks in our jails and our facilities. We know that testing tells you if you have COVID, but once you test positive, you've probably already transmitted it to people.
But vaccinated people can get COVID as well.
The amount of people who get COVID from vaccination, as you know, is very small. You're
not
significantly
true.
More likely.
Not true.
If we want to really constrain this, I think the people of Seattle, when they dial 911, they want to know the person who's responding to that emergency is fully vaccinated.
But if that's the
and
case,
that's a job requirement.
Do they?
That's
why
a job
would you let people who are not vaccinated take a test to go into a football stadium with 60,000 people?
Again, we're talking about people who are first responders responding to emergencies for the people of Seattle. When a firefighter or a police officer goes through a front door to respond to emergencies, sometimes providing emergency care, the people of Seattle need to know that that person is fully vaccinated and least likely to transmit COVID to them or their loved ones.
I think that the person who's calling 911 would like someone to show up first, right? I think they want someone who is there to show up, but there's so much misinformation. The hypocrisy was evident, right? You can go to a football game, you can still be spreading COVID around. You can go to a restaurant, still be spreading the COVID around just fine, even if you show that negative test that may not be effective anymore or may not give the current situation, but you can't actually serve the people of Seattle, which you've been doing for the last 18 months. By the way, it is absolute. I don't even. Durkan and Ensley, they all say, we follow the data, we follow the science.
Oh, it's this one study. It's this one study that they go back to that they say that the Department of Corrections, they spread it, you know, use testing and they still spread it or whatever.
But
how do you, we don't have any information on that study, and you can find a study to support anything.
Well, that's, but also it's not an analogous situation to real life because have you ever been to a prison? I mean,
I have not.
Okay. I've been to many prisons, done many prison interviews over the years.
Not as an inmate. Correct?
Not as an inmate. No, okay. No. As a journalist. And it's very different being in a prison and then being in you know, normal society. It's hard to have having the prison as your control group is not an effective study. But having said that, it doesn't matter. We know that the CDC even is admitting it. That's why they're encouraging people who are vaccinated to wear masks, is because you still carry a viral load, the same as someone who's unvaccinated. We have state after state. Now Vermont is the last one. Most of the people in Vermont who are eligible for the vaccine have the vaccine. Cases have exploded amongst the vaccinated. You have Singapore, 82% of that country is vaccinated, and they're going into another COVID lockdown because of outbreaks. Same with Iceland and Israel and many places around Europe, especially in the UK. We can go through. The data does not support that the vaccine actually stops infection and transmission.
I think that everybody knows that. Fauci admitted that we're not going to eradicate this virus.
Now he says that.
Well, I know. Many people have said that it's in the air. It's not going to go away.
Yes, yes.
All you can do is protect yourself as much as you would like to protect yourself and move on with life.
And that's why they use the term endemic. Because it's going to be all around. So there's a lie right then and there that the data shows us. But what do you know? I'm tired of this, Nicole, is the data also, if we're looking at the data and the science, is this complete dismissal of, and not even mentioning, of natural immunity.
I know.
How many tens of millions of people have more robust, more protective? If it's all about protection, than someone who has recovered from COVID, and that would be, I don't know, like 98.4% of you. So you've recovered from COVID. You are far more protected than someone who is now set up for a lifetime of boosters. Speaking of boosters, well, great, great question by Brandy Cruz, and the hypocrisy is absolutely astounding. But the FDA now is allowing Americans to mix and match, because of the science, right? Mix and match COVID vaccine booster shots. This is from the New York Post, but it was first reported by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. Is the FDA is saying that they're not going to recommend one booster shot over another, and instead they're going to allow individuals and their vaccine providers to choose whichever booster they
but
want.
If you get a different shot, it's not a booster anymore. You're just getting another
drug vaccine. Yes, it's, you know what this reeks of is. Desperation. It seems like the FDA doesn't know what the hell they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. This is not like Halloween candy we're talking about. Oh, you know, I'm going to have some peanut M&Ms, I'm going to Reese's peanut butter, I'm going to some Snickers bars, and I'm going to some Twix. These are heavy-duty drugs. And just to sort of flippantly say, well, we're not going to recommend which booster shot. Well, why not? Why do you exist, FDA? You know what the FDA should be doing if they were run by competent people who actually looked at scientific data and reported honestly? What they would say is, tell me which vaccine is better than the others. Which vaccine for my age group is better than the others? Which vaccine for my existing pre-existing conditions is better than one of the others? We have three major ones in this country. Tell me, FDA, which one is better? Which one will not set me up on a lifetime of boosters? And it looks like they all will. The Johnson & Johnson, this just shows you the moving goalposts and the dishonesty with all, you know, with all these COVID promises for the last 18 or so months. We're now going on 19 months. Johnson & Johnson was billed as one and done. If you didn't want to do two shots, this was one and done. If you didn't want to do mRNA technology, which is new and really has never been used in such a widespread manner in humans, ever, if you were concerned about that, then all right, here's Johnson & Johnson. And now the FDA is saying that you need a Johnson & Johnson booster after 2 months. After 2 months, you're going to need a Johnson & Johnson booster, that it loses its efficacy substantially. It was a study the FDA reported on involving 620,000 military veterans who used the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And it went from 88% efficacy in March earlier this year.
Before the Delta variant, you mean?
Before the Delta variant, yes. Down to 3% efficacy in August.
Right. But are those people getting sick and dying, or are those people just getting the virus like everybody else?
Well, most of them are just getting the virus and clearing it like everyone else. So we have that. And we have now, you know what is bothersome too, and maybe it's bothersome to you as well, is the, Nicole, I sense a vengefulness, I sense a spitefulness, a hateful attitude towards these first responders or anyone who decides they don't want to get the vaccination, who want to forego it for whatever their personal reason is, and I don't care, it's your personal reason. There's a level of hatred out there for these individuals. And that hatred, yeah, it may make you feel good now. It may make feel Durkin. Durkin may feel better about herself and more sanctimonious, and Inslee may feel more self-righteous. But there are real-world consequences. 350 state prison employees at the Department of Correction have been terminated. 350. And as the union points out, these are people who are already struggling with low morale, who are already working overtime, who are already moving staffers around to try to fill gaps. And you don't think there's a real-world consequence to limiting 350 Department of Correction officers? You don't think there's a real-world consequence to what will be eliminating more than 100 police officers? I know they say six or one, whatever the number is now, but... There's 100 who have been exempt, but they're not going to find accommodations. They'll be fired within a month. You don't think that's a real-world consequence? I know, yes, the Jenny Durkins of the world, these Nikita Oliver types, right? The COVID Karens may feel great about themselves, and they may beat on their chest sanctimoniously. Yes! Gone! We feel protected. Oh, yeah? Well, when it takes 50 minutes for officers to respond to your emergency, you know what? You can thank your self-righteous attitude and your self-righteous voting patterns that put these incompetent, authoritarian leaders in this position to make Seattle unsafe. We got a lot more to talk about, unfortunately, with COVID, but it's, you know, there's a lot more coming down the pike. Up next, we have Senator Doug Erickson, very familiar to the show. He's called for Jay Inslee to resign. I know, that's a wishful thinking, but we're going to talk to him about why he's calling for Inslee to resign. Up next, with me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the Dory Monson Show with me, your guest host, Jason Matera, in the saddle for the next few days as Dory take some much-needed time to rest and relax and rejuvenate those batteries right before the election, too, so you can get full Dory when you need it most. Okay, I wanted to get to this op-ed that was passed on to me, actually, minutes before we came on to the show. Is he ready? Okay. It's by Senator Doug Erickson, who is very familiar to the Dory Monson Show, and the title of the op-ed is called Why Governor Jay Inslee Needs to Resign. Oh, we can only imagine. Senator Erickson starts out, as the COVID pandemic winds down and the rest of our country returns to life as normal, Washington State has emerged as a leader in oppression. So let's welcome to the Dory Monson Show, Senator Doug Erickson. Hey, Senator, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. In this op-ed, you also write, we do not live in communist China. We can see what is happening in Florida, Texas, Arizona, and the other states in free America. They do not have vaccine mandates. They are not in lockdowns. Their residents do not have to show papers to attend football games on Saturday afternoon, you know, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, as Florida has been beaten up in the press, over the summer, it turns out Florida, which you mentioned in your op-ed, has none of these mandates. They are now at the second lowest COVID rates in the country. The second or third, I forgot which one, but really low. It looks like their seasonal peak has not just ended, but eroded away. Senator Erickson, where do we go? What do Washingtonians who agree with you? Inslee needs to go. He needs to resign. He's not going to resign. But we live in this, we've been living in the state of oppression for the last 18 months.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I just want to be really clear on one thing. You know, I don't take it lightly to call on the governor of the state to resign. I mean, he was just reelected in November. And I'm not calling on him to resign because I have policy disputes with him or I have personality conflicts with him.
No, you're calling on him to resign because he's a tyrant.
Well, yeah, exactly. What we're looking at here is that, you know, his lack of leadership and what he's doing to Washington State that's not happening in other states.
And I want you to talk about the mass firings. As you point out, you have around 2,000 state government employees have been fired. We found out today that 350 correctional officers have been fired. That number is probably going to grow as those who have been not who can't be accommodated will eventually be fired. This just seems like a manufactured crisis, a crisis that is completely gratuitous, that didn't need to happen, but is happening out of spite and vengefulness.
Yeah, two things going on with this. And one of the things I just learned today, actually. But the first thing is all of those people that Jay Inslee has fired over the past couple of days could go to Idaho and get a job tomorrow. They could go to Montana and get a job tomorrow. You know, all of the states in free America, they could go there. But what I didn't realize until today is that many of the other government entities throughout Washington state are putting in place programs that accommodate people's desire not to have the vaccine. Weekly testing, wearing a mask, religious exemptions. That's all being done at lower levels of government. But Jay Inslee intentionally said he would not accommodate anyone. And in my opinion, it was to purge the police force. So one of the reasons I believe Jay Inslee needs to resign is because he abused his power to accomplish his defund the police goals by trying to purge law enforcement through this process.
That's a really interesting point. And I've heard a few other people who are not in Washington state make it. And that is the left has been on this defund the police bandwagon for more than a year now. And they can't really get it through because most sane people realize that you need police. However, you can defund the police through back channels. And it does seem, whether it's here in Seattle where we are, or in King County, or statewide with the troopers, this is a back channel way to reduce the number of patrolmen or police officers who are active.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's definitely what we saw happen through Governor Inslee's actions. And I think that there are law enforcement agencies at the lower levels, cities and counties in Washington state, who are not forcing their law enforcement officers to resign. They're not forcing them out of their positions. They're granting them exemptions. They're making accommodations to allow them to stay on the force. And that's what needs to happen. But again, that's not what Jay Inslee's doing, whether it's the ferry system, whether it's the Department of Transportation. And good luck getting across the pass this winter when it snows, because we might not have enough employees to keep it clear. All of these reasons are why Jay needs to resign, is that he has abused his power. He has failed in leadership. And it's not because of his views on global warming or his views on taxation. You know, those are political views you can have. But his complete effort to undermine the public trust is why he needs to step down.
We're speaking with Senator Doug Erickson on the Dory Monson Show with me, your guest host, Jason Matera. It's also just incomprehensible that he can use emergency powers for now 19 months. I mean, an emergency power is something that is urgent. It's immediate, not something that's going to be stretching for 2 years now. And it would I wonder how many of your colleagues who disagree with you on policy, right? Your Democrats around the state who are uncomfortable with all this power consolidated into one man. It has an authoritarian streak to it. It is like we are being ruled by King Inslee, and it may not always be like that politically. Maybe the tides change in the state, but I'm just wondering, are your colleagues comfortable with the idea of these dictates being leveled down from Olympia and they're having no say in it?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. We're over 600 days into this emergency decree that allows Governor Inslee to do it. And there's two things that could happen. At any moment, you know, if Democrats would join with us Republicans, we could call a special session of legislature tomorrow. to go and deal with these things. So Democrats, obviously, in the Senate and the House are complicit in empowering Jay to act as a dictator. But Governor Inslee also is the leader of the entire state, and he could call a special session tomorrow. And what's happened is he has blocked out the Republican voice in Washington state. And while we're not in the majority, we still represent almost 50% of the people of Washington state are represented by Republican senators and House members who have been locked out of this process. And that's what needs to happen to bring legitimacy and restore trust to our government. So if Jay would just do that, that would be a huge step towards trying to bring our state together. But instead, he used the cloak of COVID darkness to ram through a radical agenda, and now he's using it to accomplish his goals of defunding the police and other activities without any legislative input. So, again, that's why he needs to resign. And Democrats in Olympia should be ashamed that they've allowed this to happen.
Well, I mean, but Senator, in all due honesty and respect, right, you know, the Democrats are not ashamed with their behavior. Inslee's not going to resign. He's accumulating as much power as possible. He's using the rules of public health to aggrandize and centralize his power. He's not going to give it up. His entire worldview is on the centralization of power and dictating personal life decisions for those in his state. He is hostile. I mean, from a fundamental level, he's hostile to freedom of choice to make these personal decisions. Oh, excuse me. Only when it comes to, you know, carving up a baby in the womb. Then he's carved. That's fine. That choice is okay. But everything else, he's going to mandate his views on the rest of the state. So what are Republicans doing? Inslee's not going to resign. Republicans are not in control, as you mentioned. So what is the game plan to take back the state? I mean, it wasn't too long ago where Republicans actually controlled the legislature, and now the state is governed by Seattle and all the craziness that happens here. So what is the game plan?
Well, I think the game plan is for Republicans to stand up and lead. And part of being a leader is putting forward ideas like this that are controversial, that are not popular. You know, for me to take this stance is a risk, to be honest with you. But we have to take risks. We have to stand up and show the public that there is a pathway forward that allows them freedom, that will restore Washington state to what it should be. And as they look, I believe, as they look out at other states, Florida, Texas, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, you name it, and see what's happening there, they're going to say, why are we living our lives like this in Washington state? So we have to push. We have to put our stake in the ground. And even though I do not believe that Jay Inslee will resign, I believe that more and more people need to start talking about him resigning because of what we're doing, calling for it. So we have to lead, even though we know that we might not see the rewards of our leadership, the rewards of our efforts tomorrow or next week. I am still hopeful that we can save Washington. And I, for one, I'm not ready to move to Idaho. I want to save Washington. I want to put my stake in the ground and say, we're going to fix Washington state and make it better. I'm not going to run to another state. Let's make it better here.
Senator Doug Erickson with me, Jason Matera, on the Dory Monson Show. Thank you, Senator, for joining us today. Some more leadership we're going to talk about coming up. In-N-Out Burger, out of all places. You'll hear it here on the Dory Monson Show. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Jason Matera is my name, and I'm the guest host for today and tomorrow as well. And Dory is taking some much-needed time off. We were speaking with Senator Doug Erickson in the previous segment, and he is one of the Republican leaders who is calling on Inslee to resign. We know Inslee's not going to resign, but he said something that we need leaders. We need people who are going to stand up and take these what are considered bold moves, or I don't even think it's a bold move at this point. It's just a sane move in standing up against all these proclamations that are coming down that are infringements on personal liberty and medical autonomy. And there's, and I think really the leadership, we expect politicians to make these, send out press releases or op-eds, but really what we need is more business leaders and even businesses that have some cachet, some name recognition. Out of all places, this is coming from In-N-Out Burger, which is big in California. If you haven't heard,
big. Well, it's not here, but it's big wherever it is.
Well, it's big wherever, but in California, they seem like they're everywhere, right?
Well, they're in Texas, they're in Utah, they're in Florida, okay. they're all over.
All right, so I haven't been to Texas and Utah in a while.
I believe it started in California.
I think it started in California, and that's where it started to propagate. Mm-hmm. And it's a good burger. It's good.
I know it's so basic of me to say that I love it, but
well,
I do.
I it's not bad by any means, but if I had an In-N-Out burger near me now, I would patron the restaurant because San Francisco has actually shut down at least one of their establishments because In-N-Out Burger said they are not going to be the vax police. And this is what their legal counsel, chief legal counsel business officer, put out. It says, we refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. And he slammed San Francisco's Department of Health's requirements as unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe. And he is accusing San Francisco of making them segregate customers based on vaccination status. So you basically, in order to sit down, like you're going to have to do here starting Monday in King County, which is insane. If you can get around it, get around it. Patron the restaurants aren't going to enforce it, right? Do what you have to do. You're in complete, you're a complete moral, the okay, green light, as far as I'm concerned. But this place says, In-N-Out Burger says, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to be checking your medical status in order for you to have a burger. Think about how insane that is. You want to go get some burger and fries? Okay, let me see your vax passport. Let me see your medical information. What? I just don't get in a call how more people are just infuriated by this.
I think people are so desperate to move on with their lives. They're willing to do anything. And it's that's what these people that are trying to control us want is that we'll just give in because we just want real life.
We want normalcy. At some point, people have to realize it's never going to end.
And, I know.
And numero uno example is University of Denver. I had this. Oh, yeah. University of Denver. It's right in front of my hands. They are now making students prove that they've had the flu vaccine. We knew this was happening. You give a totalitarian a small opening, just a small inch, and that's going to grow by miles and miles. And now University of Denver is going to require you to have a flu shot. Every year in order to enroll in the, enroll on campus. And you think it's going to stop there? It is not going to stop there. This is going to be eventually some type of social credit system like, a la the Chinese, the Chi-Coms have. And good for In-N-Out Burger. I mean, I think, good burger. Good
fries. Good fries.
I mean, but fries are fries.
No.
Fries are fries.
No. It's not worth the calories unless it's a good fries.
I know, but I will have fries no matter if they're like disgusting, greasy fries at the state fair that I feel awful.
Oh, or In-N-Out. Those are the best.
I'm just saying, but you feel terrible. You feel like oil is just oozing out of your face.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's the same thing with the In-N-Out. Fries are fries.
No. There's all good right. fries. And
you tell me okay, if fries, fries are fries. By the way, the text line, 888-973-CHIRO. If you want to drop us a note, 888-973-CHIRO with me, Jason Matera, as your guest host for Dory. Up next, the Fastest 15.